Well, let's talk a little bit more about our God, how good He is. I'll pick up on, I just want to share with you again, this is part four, talking about God's true nature. You know, there's a lot of the world that really know about God, but they don't know God. And coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. You know, Colette talked about, you know, and that's good. When you go to your doctor's room and see the Word of God on the wall, that's better than just all the symptoms of the disease and how, you know, what things you can expect. But then again, just having the Ten Commandments or scriptures on the wall doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't make your home Christ-like. It's when you let that Word get on the inside of you, because that's what you want and that's what you desire. Because Jesus said, if you seek me with your whole heart, not half your heart, not a quarter, your whole heart. In other words, just be honest with God. When you get honest and you get honest with Him, He will manifest His glory and power in your life. And He desires that. That is His desire. And don't look at your past failures or what you're going to do when you walk out of here and make a mistake. Look at King David. If you want to look at a warrior, man, he had problems, major problems. But he still, when he messed up, he repented. And he said, Lord, I've sinned unto you, Lord. Only have I sinned. And he would ask for forgiveness. He repented and changed. Now, he still reaped a lot of bad stuff. Some bad stuff still happened, but through it all, he had victory in battles. And the main thing was, it was his relationship with God that he kept right. Amen? And there's a lot of people that are blessed because of, I'm talking about in your family, because of what you're doing. Amen? Because God blesses faithfulness. And David, Jesus was the seed of David. So, talking about God's true nature, the keynote scripture that we started with was John 14:7-9. I wanted to read it to you. And Jesus said, talking to the world, if you have known me, talking to disciples, those that were following him, if you had known me, you should also have known my Father. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father. They're called disciples. Jesus just said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. Philip said, show us the Father, Jesus. Disciples. And Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and it'll satisfy us. And Jesus said unto him, Philip, have I been with you so long and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? This is not a riddle. Don't make the gospel hard. Don't make building a relationship with God, the Father, hard. You go to the Father in the name of Jesus through what Christ did. And I'm going to pick up where I left off, and I'll have some CDs when I get this done. I'll have all of them. And also I've got some CDs from Reed, the message he's done. I just got to get them in the covers, but I've got all that printed. I've been kind of a little bit behind, but I'm going to put that together in a series. But God's true nature. Thank you, Jesus. That looks like a different one than what I had. Let me look back here. Here we go. Got my papers switched up there. Y'all don't want me to go through that whole teaching again, do you? It'd be all right, wouldn't it? But today, and I touched on this about 2 weeks ago, says, let us consider some of the things the Scripture says about the law. Now, the law is the Old Testament, all the law that was given. The law strengthened sin. That's 1 Corinthians 15:56. The law was a ministry of death and condemnation. I'm just giving you these scriptures. If you need these references, you can get with me. The law was a ministry of death and condemnation. That's 2 Corinthians 3:7-9. The law gave guilt and knowledge of sin. Talk about the Ten Commandments and all the other laws. It gave a knowledge of sin, not salvation. That's Romans 3:19-20. The law made sin come alive and killed us. That's Romans 7:9. I thought you was a good news preacher. Hang with us. We'll get there. The law magnified sin and produced hopelessness. That's Romans 7:13-25. I've said this and I'll say it again. I knew I was a sinner. You didn't have to tell me how bad a sinner I was. That's not good news. That's not going to get people into the church. That's not going to get people to come to a relationship with God. You've got to tell them how good Jesus is. It's what Jesus did for us, not what I did for God. And the law will never do that. Now, the law is holy, and it's good for a purpose. Sometimes to get people out of this, out of deception, that they think they're good, all their good works, if I'm going to get to heaven because and when I get there, God's going to take my good works and my bad works, and then he's going to put them on the scale, and if my good outweighs my bad, I'm going to make it. Wrong. That's wrong. You got to put Jesus on the scale. That's what they're going to ask. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? So why would God give us something with all these negative effects? It was because we were already beaten by sin. Talking about the old covenant, we just didn't know it. We thought God was doing all this damage control in our life. Before we could be motivated to receive God's gift of salvation, before we could do that, by grace, through faith in a Savior, we needed to be convinced that we couldn't save ourselves. There's only one Savior and one Lord, and His name is Jesus Christ. He's Lord of Lords and He's King of Kings. So the Lord revealed His standard of holiness, the law. Now this is before Christ. Jesus was manifest. He was in the Old Testament. They just couldn't see Him. He was types and shadows, symbols in the Old Testament. So the Lord revealed His standard of holiness, the law, which was infinitely higher than any of us could ever attain, that law. So we had to come to an end of ourselves, and I came to that point one day, all by myself in my home. The Holy Spirit wasn't convicting me of my sin. He was just letting me know, I love you. Come home. Softly and tenderly, He was saying, come home. I didn't know how to get home, but I got me a Bible. And God led me there. The law was perfectly suited to do that. It shut us up to faith so the only way we could look up was up. It showed me how bad I was. And I told, my wife, she done disappeared again. I thought she was my cameraman back there. But I told you, we used to have the Ten Commandments on the wall. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. We took that down. And we put up another one. It talks about the righteousness of God, the grace of God, all the things that God has done for us. Because that law, every time I look at the law brings sin alive. Once you get born again, you're no longer a sinner by nature. You're born again. And the Lord gave me a little revelation of this week. You remember when you were kids, we used to have something called, let me see if I get it right, super elastic bubble plastic. Super elastic bubble plastic. Anybody ever remember that? Come on, kids, y'all don't remember that? It was some smelly chemical stuff, but you get it in a tube, and you get your little straw, wouldn't you, Leo, and you take that bubble, super elastic bubble plastic, say it 10 times fast, and you blow it, and that stuff, I mean, it was a strong bubble. I mean, it was like it was Teflon. Well, I used to get it and make me a bubble and then make me a bubble within a bubble and have double bubble. You remember the bubble gum? Double bubble. When you get born again, Jesus seals you with the Holy Ghost. Your spirit is encased by the Holy Spirit. Come on, get a picture of this and see this. God will minister to you in ways. If you just keep seeking Him, He'll give you a revelation. That's how I'm sealed. I have my own spirit, my human spirit. That when I leave this body, I'm going to see Jesus. I'm going to have all my little gifts and talents He's given me. I'm taking them right to heaven. And then we're all going to come back here for 1,000 years. You know that, don't you? But He took His Holy Spirit and He sealed my spirit. And that's how I am sealed until the day of redemption. See, no sin can penetrate the Holy Spirit and get to my spirit because I'm no longer a sinner. I am a child of God. Sealed, that's a guarantee, until Jesus comes and I get my glorified body, till He makes all things new. So that's God's true nature for us. That was the beginning. In the beginning, we had no sin. We were created like that, and that was the Holy Spirit. He was encased in us bodily. That's who you are in Christ. But see, what you have to do is now the Holy Spirit is there and He's your standby. But He will not override your will. You can still go out here and do stupid stuff. Stupid stuff. But that doesn't change your relationship with God. It won't change it because you're sealed. But it will cause you trouble in your life. That's why the Holy Spirit is there. He's speaking to you. Amen? And that's why that's what we have to do until Jesus comes, is we have to keep our mind renewed to that spirit man. And that's the whole part of God's true nature, is we have to understand through the Spirit of God that we are in a battle. And God is for us. So when the law is used for that purpose, in other words, when the law comes and is used to show us sin and all these things that it did, when the law is used for that purpose, it's good. But when people are taught that God's blessings are dependent upon their performance, that kills faith in what Jesus did for us. Everything we do in our job is based on performance. Can I get an amen? We are performance-based people. The kingdom of God is an upside-down kingdom. I don't get to heaven on my good works. I get to heaven on the sacrifice that Jesus, the blood of Jesus that was given for me on Calvary's cross. And Jesus was under the law, but He was full of grace. He never sinned. I said Jesus was under the law, the Old Testament law, but He was full of grace. Why? His father was not Joseph, it was God. Jesus is God. But He took on a form of a human body like us and walked this life free from sin, anointed by the Holy Ghost. And when you get born again, you need to be anointed by the Holy Ghost. That means with power. On the day of Pentecost, it's poured out, and you can get that pouring out today if you lack it and want it. But God's not going to just override your will. You got to want that. You got to seek that. You can just yield to it, and then you'll be filled with His power. Amen. To be a witness, to witness to others. So religion has taught us that we have to fulfill the demands of the law. Religion is always looking at what you can do in order for God to love us or use us. That is totally false. That is a doctrine of the devil. That's works-based, not faith-based on the work of Jesus. Amen? So for 2,000 years after Adam fell, God dealt with mankind through mercy and grace, which wasn't evident when the law came. For instance, God protected the first murderer, Cain. Slew his brother. God protected him, put a mark on him, said, if any man touches him, I think it was sevenfold, God will come after him. You're like, well, you're protecting a murderer. The mercy of God. Cain didn't know what drove him to do that. It was the devil. So instead of killing him as the law prescribed in Leviticus 24:17, Abraham married his half-sister. Look at Abraham. That was against the law, which the law said was punishable by death. That's Leviticus 18:9. God's mercy. Jacob married two women who were sisters, which the law condemned to death. Yet Abraham and Jacob became two of the greatest patriarchs of the Old Testament because God was not imputing, and anybody does in the banking, imputing means God was not putting that to their account. He was not holding that against them. Why? There was no law yet. God was not imputing sins, men's unto them at that time. That's what Romans 5:13 says. It says, for until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed where there is no law. I've never been to the Audubon. That's a fast place. If you take your Porsche or your, give me some good names for those cars. Yazazati or what? Jag. If you take your Jag to the Audubon, there's no speed limit. You determine how fast you can go. That's good if you're a good driver and you can drive fast. But if you drive like Rowan, first driver, I mean, he hasn't driven yet. You know, he's a novice. You put him in a Porsche that can go 0 to 60 in 1.2 seconds. You put him out there, he ain't going to know how to lay off in the curve and then give it to gas. You know what it's going to be? It's going to be a disaster waiting to happen. God gave the law because there was a disaster ready to happen. And he had to keep that law. He had to put a limit to what he would let sin come and do to mankind. So the law had to come. It was an act of mercy for the law to come. But it was not God's true nature. God's true nature is love. Adam, do not eat of this tree. That was his true nature. But God will not override our will. The devil, he's the culprit. He's the one that's been underneath this ever since. He's the murderer, the Bible says. From the beginning, the devil is the murderer. But they couldn't see spiritually because of that fall. They were spiritually, they thought God was doing all this. The Lord giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's an Old Testament prayer that's wrong. Because God is not a taker, he's a giver. Amen? So, when the law came, let me find my place here. But when the law came, God's wrath was released against sin, not the sinner. But where is that encased? It's encased in a body. The devil gets in and possesses you, and it became, back then, guys, in the Old Testament, once you yielded yourself to the devil and the devil came in, there was no deliverance. You were stuck with that demons. Only way you could go to the priest and get certain things done. But there was no deliverance yet. So God's wrath was released against that sin. He had to have people killed. And we got caught in the middle. In the Old Testament, God smote people with leprosy and all manner of plagues because of the sin. Because of the sin. But you got to understand, guys, before the law, that sin was not even imputed to them. They were still going to have a chance when Jesus went to hell to hear the good news and receive him as Lord. Amen? Because they were made examples for us. But they were still, God is the judge of all. And he judges right. Yet this was not God's original reaction to sin, as can be seen by the fact that it was 2,000 years after Adam's sin that God gave the law and then released his wrath. So he wasn't imputing man's sins until the law was given. However, the law made sin come alive, and it killed us. That's Romans 7:9 says. Paul says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The law released God's wrath, and it served two main purposes. First, talking about the law, God's display of his wrath against sin forever changed the way man thought about sin. But it never could purge their conscience of it. That's what the law. It would make sin come alive, but they didn't have no, there was no deliverance from it. They were always conscious. They saw that guy, as soon as that law came, there was one guy, children of Israel, he went out to get sticks and build a fire and cook his family some food. And it was a Sabbath day. The law said you shall not do no work on the Sabbath day. He was out getting sticks. They saw him. They brought him. They put him before Moses. Moses said, kill him. Stone him to death. My God, he was just getting sticks for his family. But the law said, do nothing on the Sabbath day. So God had to judge that sin. He had to state them. People were like, whoa, I ain't getting no sticks on Sunday no more. No, sir. See, it painted a big picture. Man, sin is bad. Disobedience is bad. You may not think when you say no, mama, to your parents. It's bad because you're giving the devil a place in your mind. You give him a little bit, you give him an inch, he'll become a ruler of your life. So you just, yes, ma'am, no, mama, I'm going to listen to you. So now he had a graphic evidence of how much God hated sin, mankind did. So this served as a deterrent. I don't want to do that. See, God had to place that there until Jesus was coming. So that was the first purpose of the law. Secondly, and more importantly, the law gave such a perfect standard of performance that those who understood it clearly saw that they could never be good enough to receive anything from God. And what would that do? That would press you to, Lord, I need help. Surrender. Put your flag up. It took away any deception that God... Oop, took away you. Wrong page. Boy, that messes you up when you get two of the same pages up here. It took away that deception that God owed us anything. And it made us throw ourselves on God for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. You remember Jesus at one time, he was in the temple and they were taking up, it might have been the temple tax, or they were bringing an offering, and there was one Pharisee that stood up there, and there was a sinner, they stood side by side, and the Pharisee just beat his chest and said, "Lord, look what I'm giving today. Look what I'm able to give." And he was standing beside that old sinner and said, "Lord, that old sinner over there." And the sinner said, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." See, the Pharisee was exalting. Pride will exalt itself. But the sinner, he was humble. He knew God, and he walked humbly before the Lord, and he said, "Lord, have mercy." He knew he needed mercy. And see, that's what, and God saw his sacrifice, but the guy that had that self-righteousness is it'll bring you, it'll take you completely away from God. Pride will lead you to destruction. Amen. That's the nature of the devil, is pride. It's all about me. All about me. So now let's talk about the proper use of the law. This is why I gave the law. God gave the law so it would drive us to him. You ever watched the old westerns? You got all them cows out there? And they'll take the horses and they'll take the dogs. They're trying to drive them into the corral. Drive them into the corral. Why? So I can feed you, water you. Now, eventually they're going to make steaks out of them. Thank God God's not making steaks out of us. The law was there to drive us to Jesus. It was there to drive us home to those pastures that the Lord wants us to lie down in, green pastures. See, he's our shepherd. So that was his whole purpose from the law, was to drive us home. I got to get them home, Jesus. We got to get them home. I got to do this. It's going to be an act of mercy, but we got to get them home. Because you read in the Old Testament, before the flood, man, it says everybody's heart was dark. Continually, all they thought about was evil. We're seeing evil today. Not at the measure that it was in Noah's day, but it's getting there. And it ain't gonna get just like Noah. I'm talking about completely, because we here, the church is here. Now, there was only eight that were saved by the flood, but there's going to be more that's going to enter heaven's gate going by the rapture than eight. Amen? Because Jesus came. That made a difference. And Jesus made a difference. Now, I know the gate's narrow, and there's a narrow way, but you need to hit that gate full speed to Jesus. Don't you even hang around the broad gate that leads to destruction. Do you hear me? Don't you be hanging around people that want to do evil things. The Bible says run from even the appearance of evil. It's even going to appear to be something contrary to God. Run away from it. Why? Because God loves you. Amen. He's got good plans for you, Bob. Good plans for you and Vivian. They've been preaching the gospel, living the gospel, loving Jesus, and there's more goodness to come. Amen. Amen. The proper use of the law drives us to God for mercy and not away from God in guilt and condemnation. If somebody is putting a guilt trip on you, that ain't God and it ain't the Holy Ghost. That's a religion. If they're saying they're a Christian, they're full of religion. Or they just haven't been taught right. Amen. If they're pointing fingers at you because of what you've done, that ain't God. Because God don't point the finger, he'll point the way. And he'll leave that up to you. He'll say, "You can walk my way, or you can walk away from me, and it won't be good." But he will not make you do anything. But I tell you what, when you come home, when you come to Jesus, I ain't saying you ain't got trouble, but he takes care of the trouble. You can have peace in the midst of trouble. Amen. In the midst of the storm, you can be at peace. There was just a few branches around this church through all that crazy wind we had Wednesday. I came up here and mowed, and just a few branches, and I said, "Thank you, Jesus, for the angels dispatched around this place, and not only this place, our people's place." That's the God we serve. He's there when you're sleeping. He's working when you're sleeping, because he don't sleep. Amen? He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's watching over you. Amen? He's there to protect you. So once we come to Jesus and receive salvation as a free gift, I like free. Amen. I like to keep everything in the church. If we can just keep it free, that's God's plan. That's God's plan. Free. Adam, you got every tree of the garden, Adam, free. Freely you can eat, except one. Just one. And we're not told how many trees, but there's a lot of trees on this earth. I don't know how many trees were in the garden, but I know God, and he's a God of abundance. That means there was bananas, persimmons, apricot, you name it, that was good, it was there. Just don't eat of this one tree. So once we come to Jesus and receive salvation as a gift, that's Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Once we do that, we are no longer under the law, but you are under grace. Grace. Great grace. But just because you're under grace doesn't mean it's okay to play around with sin, right? Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Even though you're born again, saved, on your way to heaven, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever you sow, if you still get out there and do stupid stuff, unless you repent and get right, there's a consequence. Amen? We are all subjected to that. But how do you fight against that? It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin when you conceive, have a conception, have a relationship with that. That's when you get in trouble. Because the tempter is going to come. But greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So spend time, build your relationship like we talked about in the beginning here. Keep building and getting a deeper relationship with the Lord God Almighty. Walking and talking with him in the cool of the evening. In the morning, in the evening, at supper time. Amen. I will praise him in the morning. I'll praise him in the evening. I'll praise him when the sun goes down. We sang that to our kids when we was teaching kids in Sunday school. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him when the sun goes down. Hallelujah. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him in the morning. Praise him in the evening. Praise him when the sun goes down. We praise him. Amen. Praise the Lord. So God always wanted to relate to us by grace. He hasn't changed. He never changes. He couldn't just look the other way and ignore sin, though. God is the judge of all the earth. He judges righteously. The sin debt had to be paid, and thank you, Jesus, I didn't have to pay it. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It had to be paid. That's why Jesus came. He suffered all of God's wrath against all the sin of the entire world forever on the cross. Now, if you ever seen Mel Gibson's movie, it's pretty graphic. It was worse than that. So don't never lose sight of what Jesus, it was a fight to stay on that cross. Because he was marred and he was beaten. And when all that sin of the entire world, all sickness, all disease hit his body, you couldn't even tell he was a human being on the cross. That's how much God loved us. God said, I will be the sacrifice. Remember Abraham? He told Abraham, go offer Isaac on the sacrifice. Go up and offer Isaac. You know, did Abraham say, I don't think so? No, he was obedient. Abraham, I guess he said, well, God, you gave him. If you tell me to sacrifice him, I'll do it. Why? Abraham believed God. The Bible says it was counted to him to righteousness. He believed the God that would take his son would raise him from the dead. That's how much Abraham believed God. Abraham saw it. He saw it by faith. Okay, God says to put him up. God, that means he's going to raise him from the dead because I know God's a good God. See, Abraham was struggling with this thought. He didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside of him. But he had this testimony. He believed God. And when you believe God, your vision will go from 20 to 30 to 20-20. When you believe God. Amen. You'll come through surgeries and you'll give a testimony that God brought me through the surgery. You'll live a long, prosperous life on this earth. Why? Because he promised if you honor your father and your mother, you'll live a long, your life will be good. You'll have length of days. I'm speaking what God said. Amen. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the stock market says. I don't care what my 401k says. My CK says, that's Christ the King, says I am highly favored. And I have been exalted. I have been seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My mama's there. My other mother-in-law is there. I got mothers there. I got brothers there. And one day, I'm going to say bye-bye. And I'm going to see all you guys coming with me. I'm going to say, whoa, Wayne, how'd you get in front of me, Wayne? No, it ain't going to be that. It's going to be, the Bible says, in the twinkling of an eye. That's an atomic second. When the trumpet sounds, I believe we're going to hear that trumpet. Those that are listening, we're going to hear the trumpet. And before that trumpet even gets halfway through, we're going to be. I've had an experience of out-of-body experience in my home, and I didn't die. I'm just talking about I had an experience, my spirit leaving my body. And it felt good, Bob. It felt good. I'm trying to think of the vacuum cleaner name we used to have. The best vacuum cleaner we had. It's like 100,000 times just my spirit left my body. It felt so good. Just to get out of that body just for a split second. I just got a revelation of what it's going to be like on that rapture day. Now, if we're living, our body's going to be changed. Ours is not coming out of grave, but those before us will. They're going to go before us. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. They're going to get their bodies changed, but it's going to be supernatural. Amen. It's going to be awesome. Oh, what a glorious day. What a glorious day. That's why Jesus came. Death, the grave, couldn't hold him. So Jesus suffered all of God's wrath against all of sin forever. That's John 12:32. It says, and I, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men. He's talking about he's going to draw all. Jesus drew all the judgment, all the sin of every sin that's ever been sinned of mankind forever. Jesus drew it like a lightning rod on the cross. And he became, God let his son became sin. Who knew no sin? Jesus never had a relationship with sin until he said, it's finished. And he became sin. What is sin? What is the wages of sin? It was up there on the screen. It's death. Jesus died physically by his own will. The devil didn't kill Jesus. He thought he did. God, Jesus is God. And he let his soul and spirit go to Sheol. Why? There was people captive down there. I'm going to go get them. Amen. That was his whole purpose, to destroy the devil's plan. Amen. And he done a good job. So when we receive God's grace, that's a race that only God can run. That's grace. And Jesus finished the race. And he won the victory. And that victory has now been given to the church. When we receive God's grace by accepting salvation, say free, it's a free gift. Don't charge nobody for it. It's a free gift. That's why all of our CDs, what? They are free. That means you don't have no excuse leaving this place without the Word of God. They're free. Freely you have received, freely give. And that grace, when we receive that grace by accepting that salvation as a free gift through the Lord's blood that he shed on his cross, the Father God looks through that sacrifice and sees us holy. He sees you righteous and complete in him. Don't try to earn grace. It's a free gift. Amen? It's free. Freely. So our sin debt, in closing here, I don't know if you can ever really close on the true nature of God, because we're going to know him intimately every day. But remember this, our sin debt has been paid in full. Not only that, but we have become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. In other words, don't make that word righteousness hard. You are in right standing with the Father. You can approach him, come to his throne, boldly to his throne, anytime. He's always listening. And he always has an answer. Amen? That's the call of the great exchange. He not only took away our sin, but he gave us his righteousness. We are now as clean and holy. Remember now, in your spirit, because your mind's still going to have thoughts that's going to hit. But once you receive Jesus, Jesus makes you your spirit as he... let me go on here. We are now clean and holy in our spirits as Jesus is. 1 John 4:17 says, herein is love, say love. Is love made perfect, mature, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as Jesus is, as he is, so are we, where? In this world. In this world. And also the world to come. Concluding today, when we fully understand that truth right there. As Jesus is, So is Colette. So is Tammy. So is Larry. As Jesus is in your spirit, man, so are you. You have been made righteous. You've been made holy. Holiness is not, it's not a byproduct of what you do. It's who you are in Christ. When God says, separate yourself, be ye holy as I'm holy. In other words, stay in Christ. Don't walk after the flesh. Walk after the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That temptation, when it comes, if you're walking with the Lord, come out here, come here a minute, Wayne. Tell you, if you want to be used as props, you come to the front row. See right here? If we walk, see me, come on, walk with me, Wayne. See, we're walking together. The Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? See, we agree, and me and Wayne, we agree that Jesus, as Jesus is, so is Wayne. See, Jesus is right here. So as Jesus is, so are you. Jesus ain't leaving, so why are you? Don't leave his presence. Don't leave his word. Don't leave that place that he has for you. Amen? Don't leave. Sometimes you're right there at your breakthrough, and somebody says something, and it offends you, and you leave. Now, Jesus said, you stay there, and you love that person. You speak life. Amen? You speak life. Now, me and Wayne's going to walk back up here. He's going to walk to the piano, and I'm not going up there because I can't play the piano. But see, we're still in one spirit. Why? God is spirit. He put his spirit in me. You are a spirit being. You're God's creation. Once I was born from my mother 54 years ago, I was one of God's creations. My spirit man was just dead. Because since when Adam died, I died, Marie. When Adam died, Elaine, I died. But I wasn't even here yet. But I was coming. But I was still dead in my trespasses and sin. But that wasn't the end of the story. Because before this earth was even created, before sin was even brought into the earth through the devil, Jesus and the Father and the Holy Ghost had a meeting in heaven and said, Father, we know what's going to happen. We're going to create this world. We're going to put a human in the earth. And we know one of our angels, they're going to disobey you. See, God is all-knowing. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. But the devil's not. And God knew what was going to happen. And Jesus said, well, I'll tell you what, Father, I'll be that sacrifice. They're going to betray us. The devil's going to betray us, and he's going to kidnap Adam. But Father, I'll be the sacrifice. I'll die. I'll go in his place. This happened before we were even created. You want to know how much God loves you? That's how much before we even created, God said, I'll be the sacrifice. The devil didn't know all that. And he took our place. God took our place. See, a lot of times people, they just don't understand the true nature of God. For God so loved the world, he died for me. See, that's the great depth of his love. But not only did he die, he rose. See, he died a physical death, but God is a spirit. Whether you receive Jesus or not, you are an eternal spirit being. Your place is either going to be with God or separated God for eternity. Make that choice. You can only make that choice on this earth, because once you're in this earth and have a body, that's when your spirit speaks through your body, and you have to make that choice down here to believe Jesus and say, I want to know the Father like you did, Jesus. And Jesus said, all those that come, let them come. And when you receive that sacrifice, you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're sealed. It's finished. It's finished. Between that war, that sin is finished. Now God sees you as a child, as his child. If you don't like the way you were born, get born again. Amen. Just get born again. That's what Jesus said. If you're not born again, if you're listening by Facebook Live to the world, how do I get born again, preacher? Believe on Jesus. Believe he is who he said he is. He loves you, and he went to Calvary's cross, and he hung, and he bled, and he died, and his blood was shed so that you wouldn't have to shed your blood, and so that you wouldn't be separated from God forever. You would be in a place called heaven. But the kingdom of God, once you get born again, is in you now, and you can start enjoying. You are a citizen of heaven in this earth, and you can have be doubly blessed. Be blessed down here in this earth and in the kingdom to come. So if you're here today, you haven't received Jesus, or you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you want to yield to the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with His power. That's available to every believer, not to every evangelist, apostle, pastor, teacher. It's for every believer, all those that will. You can be filled with that power. If you need that gift, if you're listening, send me an email. It'll be on the screen later. robertj1966@gmail.com. Send us an email. We'll be glad to pray with you. Come visit our church. The fourth Sunday of this month, we'll be having our Thanksgiving, Pastor Appreciation Thanksgiving dinner here. Come join us. We always have more than enough food. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this service. I thank you, Lord, for this word. That, Lord, thank you, Lord, for helping us know your true nature, your true heart. It's compassion and love for the whole world. It goes past our understanding, past our knowledge. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. If anybody reached out to you today and received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, we just thank you, Lord, that they're born again, that, Lord, they get into a good church and learn of you. Learn of your mighty, mighty grace. And we just thank you for that. If you need personal prayer, anything we can agree with you, let's agree with Pastor Jim. By faith, I'm going to put my hand on his shoulder because this is usually where he sits. He'll be having his surgery Friday. So, Father, we just thank you for Jim and Wanda. We thank you, Lord. He's already spoken to you about this shoulder replacement. We just thank you, Lord, that he's going to get all the right equipment. It's going to fit him just fine. That shoulder's going to go right in socket, Lord, and he's going to be able to raise his shoulders. He's going to be blessed. He's a blessed man. He knows the blessing of the Lord. It makes rich, and there's no sorrow for this surgery. And we just thank you for total recovery. That he's blessed going in and he's blessed coming out in Jesus' name. And Father, we lift up Bob and Vivian. We just thank you. We just speak to Vivian's back right now in the name of Jesus. We just thank you for total restoration and strength to her back and to Bob right now. Father, we just speak blessings over them in the name of Jesus, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for your great and precious promises you have toward them. And we just thank you, Father, for a mighty, mighty work in their life, Lord. And in their children's life. In Jesus' name, amen.